Genau. This meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, also known as the Sunshine Law, NJSA 10:4-6. Notice of the 2025 meeting schedule was sent to the Daily Record and published in the Daily Record on February 3, 2025. The annual meeting list was also posted on the Municipal Bulletin Board in Town Hall, on the Town of Dover website, and submitted to the town clerk. As a reminder, there is no smoking in this building. There are two exits in case of emergency, and this meeting is not streaming on Facebook Live. However, the audio will be posted in a timely manner to the town website.
Roll call.
Chairman Fisher?
Present.
Vice Chair Schmoke?
Present.
Commissioner Fox?
Right here. Thank you.
Commissioner Davis? Commissioner Roman? Commissioner Acosta? Commissioner Nieves?
Present.
Commissioner McCord?
Present.
And also present is our board attorney.
Not yet.
We'll
deal with that in a minute.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. So we do have Mr. Hoyt here, and along with
Alex McLean
is here. I think there's a little bit of business, Mr. Chairman. Right now, as I recall, at the last time you all got together, you appointed an attorney, but he no longer will be serving you, and you're left with Thanksgiving leftovers, I guess. Maybe Halloween leftovers. Maybe it's not Thanksgiving, I don't know. I think you need to take a vote and have any discussion about appointing somebody as your attorney.
Okay, does anybody have any suggestions?
I thought that's what your job was. You just set up for the town, or I thought you were the attorney for the whole board.
Hold on one second. I'd like to move adoption of resolution BOA 2025-04.
We have a second.
Now we can talk about it.
Thanks. So what happened is the attorney that you wound up appointing determined that he would not be representing you. I was asked if I was willing to serve and represent you again, and I said, why not? I know everybody. I don't need to make any new friends. So you need to just act on appointing me as your board attorney for this calendar.
Okay.
And you can do it pursuant to the resolution that the TC just read, because the resolution spells it out.
Okay. Can we have make a motion, anyone?
I did.
I think TC.
We did. We did that.
Did? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you just need a second.
We got that too.
Like I said, you got the second too. So now you could cast either a unanimous, all in favor, or you can do a roll call.
We'll do an all in favor.
All in favor.
Aye. Thank you very much. It's nice to be back after this hiatus. Okay. Now we have a resolution that needs to be adopted. It's resolution 2025 that TC had talked about. And that's a resolution appointing me as your attorney for this calendar year under the local public contracts law. And the appointment ends at the end of the calendar year, and a copy of the resolution will be published in the paper. So you need a motion and a second on that resolution.
Well, that's what I did.
I'll make a motion.
Let's untable it. You're right.
Well, no, I moved adoption of the resolution, and that isn't that sufficient, just adopting the resolution, or do we have to appoint you and then approve the resolution?
I think you had to appoint me first.
Okay.
Because it's the board's decision to do it.
Okay.
This memorializes it.
Gotcha.
Okay,
gotcha.
I make a motion we adopt the resolution to make you the town's Board of Planning, Planning Board Attorney.
Zoning Board Attorney.
Yeah.
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
No. Okay. You want me to help you a little more, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Or you want to
continue.
Right. We got another resolution appointing Secretary Paula Mendelson.
Mendelson, yes.
All right, I got that part.
Yes.
So, appointing Paula Mendelson as the Secretary for the Board of Adjustment for the calendar year. And we need a first and a second on that.
I'll move that.
I'll second. Somebody else, or I'll either.
You did a beautiful job.
Ah, yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No. Okay. All right, so now we're kind of official, but we didn't do a Pledge of Allegiance, did we?
No.
Not yet.
So, you want to do that?
Yeah, why not? Our Pledge of Allegiance is to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Next, there's no minutes to approve. We did the two resolutions. I think what we ought to be doing, though, is swearing in Stephen as your engineer and Alex as your planner for when he shows up. So, gentlemen, if you'll both raise your right hands, do you both swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth in the proceedings before this board, not only tonight, but for the rest of this calendar year, so help you God?
Oh, that sounds like a lot. Sure, yes.
Okay. So now, in the minutes, please reflect that we swore the mm-hmm. two guys in, and that way nobody can challenge that they weren't sworn in and under oath and everything else for anything they do the rest of their calendar year. It makes life very, very simple. Mm-hmm. All right. That's all the procedural stuff, Mr. Chairman. I can shut up and we can go to the application.
Okay. First application is Z25-01-29 Perry Street. Subject property identified as block 2022, lot 1. Currently contains two buildings, a non-conforming single-family dwelling, which the applicant intends to retain, and a conventional, a commercial building, which the applicant proposes to convert into a live work unit designed to accommodate a small-scale business. The first floor of the commercial building will be used for commercial purposes, while the second floor will be used for residential purposes. It does not appear that any external site improvements are proposed as part of the application. The subject property is located within the C2 General Commercial District.
Good evening. My name is Nicholas Graviano on behalf of the applicant, Angela Garidi. I am a professional planner on behalf of the applicant. Okay. I just before you swear me in, I would just like...
I'm not going to swear you for anything yet. I have to spell your last name, Nick.
G-R-A, V as in Victor, I-A-N-O.
All right. And you're a licensed professional planner in the state of New Jersey?
Yes, I am.
By whom are you employed?
Yes, I am a planner and partner with Graviano and Gillis, Architects and Planners, with a business address of 101 Crawford's Corner Road in Holmdel, New Jersey.
And you regularly practice planning before boards? Yes. You represent boards as a planner?
I hold a bachelor's degree from Rutgers University, a master's degree in city and regional planning from Rutgers University. I have a law degree from the Temple University School of Law, where I received a distinguished class performance in state and local government law. I've testified before boards and governing bodies in over 100 municipalities in 18 counties, and I also represent the City of Clifton Board of Adjustment.
So, are you appearing as an attorney or planner?
I'm appearing solely as a planner.
Okay.
The applicant is an individual, does not require legal representation.
That's why I just wasn't sure which hat you were going to wear.
Yeah.
All right. If it's all right, Mr. Chairman, he's certainly able. He hasn't appeared here, so I will try and help him like we usually do.
Sure.
To make his life a little more pleasant. So, what's your application, Nick?
Just before we get into the crux of the application, I would just like to ask the board or the board secretary, will the board be getting additional members, or we have only five members tonight because the applicant is requesting a D1 use variance requiring five affirmative votes?
The answer is we don't know the answer to your question, but what we could do is if there is any hesitancy, gentlemen, on this application or with this application, I'd like you to so indicate, because if it looks like everything is in reasonably good order, then you could vote. If there are some misgivings, if you could state them before, that'll give you the chance, Nick, to just carry it. How's that?
That sounds like a good way to proceed.
We try.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Now, another thing. You provided notice for all people within 200 feet of the property?
Yes, the certified slips were provided to the board secretary as well as the affidavit of the publication in the newspaper.
Okay, I don't know whether that has been reviewed yet by Paula, but you provided it, so that's fine, and we'll go from there.
Yes.
Okay.
Everybody should have a copy of the slips.
Okay. And just so that we're really clear on the record, because we have a planner and our engineer here.
Yes.
The relief you're seeking is exactly what, so we can hone in on it and make sure that we're all on the same page.
So the chairman was correct. The applicant is not proposing any changes to the site itself. This is strictly a internal modification to an existing commercial building. This subject property presently contains a single-family detached dwelling, which is occupied by the owner, and additionally a two-story commercial building which was previously used as a beauty salon. The applicant seeks to convert the beauty salon to what is termed a live-work unit, where the upstairs would be converted from a commercial space to a studio apartment, and the resident of the studio apartment would also operate the business on the ground floor. So the operator of the business and the residential unit inhabitant would be the same individual, so there would not be separate leaseholders. The building will be occupied by one individual with a business entity.
Okay. Nick, is the pre-existing non-conforming residential use, is that pre-existing non-conforming, or did that receive a variance at some point in the past?
So the applicant received approval from the board in 2013 to operate the salon.
The salon, but that's in the back building?
Yes.
That's the subject of this
The existing single-family dwelling and the commercial use were granted approval by the board in 2013.
Okay, and it was just the salon on the first story, and what was the second story approved for?
It was first and second floor were the salon.
Were the salon.
It was a single commercial entity.
Okay, so we're going from a residence up in front and a commercial in the back to a commercial with a live-work.
Correct.
All right, and did you guys take a position as to what relief is? It's clearly a use variance. I'm not arguing.
Yeah, I'll provide the board with the relief that's being requested tonight. The applicant is requesting a D1 use variance from the Town of Dover Code Section 236-18A, in that there's two principal structures located in the C2 district. The C2 district does allow commercial uses with the residents above as a permitted conditional use, and the only condition is that the ground floor have a commercial use. However, the presence of the pre-existing single-family dwelling trigger the D1 use variance for two principal uses on one lot.
You guys have a problem with it?
No.
You okay with that, Brent?
No problem.
All right, so we're all in agreement about the relief that you were going for.
The second relief being requested to err on the side of caution would be from the parking requirement. The applicant is changing the use. The applicant is also requesting relief from Code Section 236-43, Table 1, in that 8 off-street parking spaces are required and 4 off-street parking spaces are existing and proposed.
Okay. And I think in order, unless Stephen tells me I'm wrong, as part of your application, I think you're probably requesting a waiver or a minor, at best, site plan application, because you're putting in another commercial use. So technically, if you and I want to argue it over a beer something, technically I think you probably need some kind of site plan. My suggestion is that we treat the site plan under the variance testimony and just do what we have to.
The The applicant has requested relief, a waiver from the site plan requirements in that none of the site plan configuration is changing.
Yeah, you okay with that? Submitted as a waiver of site plan. I'm okay with that based on the waiver or the variance request for the parking. That answers my biggest question.
Okay.
So I'm good.
I'd like to get this stuff just verbally on the record just to make
sure. Yeah, I was going to hit it, but.
We hit it because we don't wait for you.
All right.
We set it up, we tee it up as high as we can.
You know, I kind of have a flow to this, but whatever, however you want to do it, I'm game for it.
All right. Yeah. Who's your witness?
I'm the only witness tonight.
Okay.
Okay, so I think we've got a little bit of an introduction to the application. The applicant is before the board this evening for a specific piece of property known as Block 2022, Lot 1. That is a property located in the C2 zoning district. The two properties have street addresses of 256 Route 46. That is the commercial structure. And the residential single-family detached structure is known as 29 Perry Street. The applicant is before the board requesting the D1 use variance approval to accommodate the live-work unit within the existing commercial dwelling, as well as requesting the off-street parking variance. I would like to note that this actually reduces the amount of required parking for the site. If you took the parking calculation as it stands today, 9 spaces would be required. If you take the application that's before you tonight, 8 off-street spaces would be required. And that doesn't account for the fact that the commercial occupant and the residential occupant are the same person. So this is certainly a situation which helps alleviate the parking demand which exists on the site. As I indicated, the 2013 previous resolution did severely limit the scale and intensity of the commercial use. There was a limit of 1 seat to the beauty salon. The property was completely rehabbed. The house was rehabbed and the commercial structure was rehabbed due to a fire. The applicant has substantially completed the structure and for over a year has tried to lease the space to no avail. Through dialogue, through people within the municipality, the live-work concept was discussed to utilize that existing second floor space. That second floor space exists today. It's not proposed as part of this application. It does exist. So there'll be a change from the previous commercial use to a studio apartment. So it's a very low-intensity residential use, which is being proposed on that second floor. The applicant proposes that first floor commercial space to be utilized as either a barbershop or beauty salon, artist or photographer studio, an office use, or a tattoo parlor. All low intensity uses that could be accommodated within that commercial space, which measures 865 square feet. So we're not talking about a large commercial space that could accommodate a large volume operation. The second floor residential studio apartment is 574 square feet. So this is a very modest existing structure. Looking at the D1 variance, as you all know from the time you spend away from your family and friends, can be accommodated in particular cases and for special reasons. That's a positive criteria of the D1 use variance. Now, the applicant does not need to demonstrate that there are other viable locations for the enterprise, which is before you this evening, just that this site has particular characteristics, it's called particular suitability, that make the proposed use appropriate for the proposed use. The applicant must also demonstrate that there's no substantial impairment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance with the request. Looking at the term particular suitability, this site is particularly suited for the use that is before you this evening because the C2 district does permit ground floor commercial and second floor residential uses. The variance before you this evening is being requested solely because there is the existing single family detached dwelling on the site. And there's a request in one of the review letters. It is a three bedroom single family dwelling. So this is a scenario which is permitted by your underlying zoning ordinance. The applicant is actually going the extra mile to ensure that the resident and the business owner are the same person helping to alleviate any parking concerns that the board may have on site. This proposal certainly advances purpose of zoning of the municipal land use law, specifically purpose A, promotion of the public health, safety, morals, and general welfare. Purpose G, to provide sufficient space and appropriate location for a variety of residential and commercial uses to meet the needs of New Jersey citizens. And then lastly, purpose I, to promote a desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design and arrangements. And the live-work unit, it's certainly gaining currency as we go throughout the years as people tend to work more from home. It legitimizes the commercial space. It doesn't have people entering the main crux of the residential dwelling. And it's very good for small-scale business owners such as myself or such as a small real estate or artist studio or the like that can live and work in the same place with a scenario that keeps the residential use separate from the commercial use. Given that this use is permitted by code, there's certainly no substantial impairment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance. Moving on to the C variance for the parking, this is a condition that exists today. The applicant's actually reducing the parking requirement on site. Certainly that variance, I believe, can be granted under both the C1 and C2 criteria. C1 in that there's no other available space to locate more off-street parking on this property. And C2 in that it advances the purposes of zoning A, G, and I that were provided for the D1 use variance analysis, and that parking variance could also be granted without substantial impairment to the zone plan or zoning ordinance because the applicant's making an effort to reduce the parking demand on site.
How many parking spaces are there?
Four.
Okay. And would there be a restriction on the number of people that can live in the commercial building?
That's going to be up to code requirements, but it's a studio dwelling, so you're most likely going to have 1 to 2 people max.
So I remember when we went through this 12 years ago, the same thing. That's why it ended up as the type of business that it was, because of the number of people that would be there at any one time. So.
That's why the applicant's certainly willing to work with the board and municipality on this scenario to create a situation which limits the occupants and business uses on the site.
Well, Catherine, it seems like you're really limiting it based on the list of commercial uses that are coming on, because basically what you're saying is in that commercial space, there's really going to be 1, at most 2 customers, visitors, whatever, plus the resident.
That is correct.
So it's self-limiting, right?
The C2 district allows a wider range of commercial uses, but the applicant really wants to be straightforward with the board with the commercial uses that he's going to allow in the site to alleviate any concerns with the existing parking supply.
You want to hear from our professionals? You'll have a chance to put anything else in. We're not that formal.
Sure.
Who wants to go first, gentlemen?
Steve, I'll let you go first.
I'll go first because I think my list is probably shorter. Yeah,
okay. So there.
You have it.
Just grabbing on one of the comments related to the bulk table, conditions-wise, are you amendable to providing that as a condition of any action the board takes?
Certainly.
What was the bulk? What's the issue, Steve?
There's not a bulk table included right now, so I'd like it on the plan for what we sign off on. I think the testimony addressed the variances that we should be concerned with, being nothing else is changing, but let's just document it. I think even going back to 2013, there really wasn't anything included in that application.
We'll certainly provide that as a condition of the approval if the board acts favorably upon the application. As I stated previously, the applicant is not proposing any site modifications whatsoever. Any proposed signage would conform to the ordinance requirements. The only real change to the site is that the applicant's going to have to add 1 window to the second floor of the proposed dwelling, and that's it.
And that's beyond our jurisdiction.
Yes.
With that, Mr. Chairman, my comment letter's been addressed, so I have no further questions.
Any board have any questions?
I just for the record, just to ask if the... Sorry.
You're going great.
I'm doing good. Thanks. Does the applicant have an idea of what the proposed use would be for the ground floor commercial space?
I gave the list.
Oh,
The applicant is in this situation now because the previous resolution contained no flexibility. He's had the space over a year, has tried very diligently to get occupants, was not able to do so.
Okay.
So this application seeks to expand those permitted uses in low-intensity uses that are able to be accommodated on the 860-square-foot space. Right now, the applicant is in dialogue with a very small real estate agent for the ground floor space, but would like the opportunity to have additional uses down the road if, when that tenant leaves.
Okay.
Would it not make sense then to either expand the uses that are permitted, or in the alternative, the board were willing to go along with this, to let your planner and your engineer, if they came in with, I don't know what else, a psychiatrist, you didn't mention a doctor's office.
Well,
a psychiatrist is just going to see one. Obviously, that certainly fits with what you're talking about. But I don't want to limit it just to the five that you mentioned, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
I greatly respect that. However, I think if it's barbershop, beauty salon, artist photographer studio, general or professional offices, and tattoo parlor, the applicant would be satisfied with that combination.
Yeah.
And I think it gives the board a clear, concise list of uses that could be put in a resolution.
Yeah.
We can't, but we're even more flexible.
All right.
Other than that, no, I feel like, you met the criteria. It's clear. It's obviously a particularly well-suited site. It's off of a very major commercial corridor, and it's a corner lot, on the other side, other street, Perry Street's are very residential. I saw that they look like they did a great job in terms of the aesthetics, too. And I just got a question. So what happened to Purpose M? You don't think efficiency is a... Is being advanced here?
I think AG and I cut mustard.
Okay. Yeah.
Didn't want to throw too many in there.
Oh,
you might see that one thrown in too.
All right. I don't disagree with it.
Oh. Just checking.
Okay. Does any board member have any questions for you?
No.
I have a few. First off, this would either be for Steve or Alex. Are there any properties in Dover right now that are this live-work classification?
Not that I'm aware of.
I'm not aware of any either. Mr. Graviano, you mentioned that the owner is in talks with small real estate company. Is that person going to take over the residential space too? Is that part of the discussions?
Yes.
Or, okay, if this person comes in, they would live there and have the space.
Yes, Mr. McCord, just to your previous question posed to the board professionals, the applicant's proposal is actually more stringent than uses that are currently permitted by code. Within Dover, there are ground floor commercial uses with residential uses above. This applicant has gone above and beyond to have them the same person to alleviate any potential parking concerns on site. So to answer your question, I would say yes, this condition does exist within the town of Dover. However, the applicant, in an attempt to appease the board and the municipality, is trying to limit the users on the site.
To that point, what would the difference be between what, because obviously, there's a lot of businesses downtown that have apartments above them. What makes this different than that, if at all? I see two separate entrances. I see, a separation of the space. I'm just curious what.
I think the testimony is, and I agree with it, being it's the same person, right?
Uh-huh.
You're waking up upstairs, you're going downstairs to go to work. So
right.
You're limiting that duplication of parking demand, essentially.
Right.
They were separate people. Somebody lived upstairs and somebody showed up to go to work. Now you got two cars versus the one guy standing there. I think that's the differentiator here. He is correct. There is commercial under residential in other spots within the town. And again, that kind of duplicates your parking demand.
Yeah, and then it speaks to the efficiency of the site too.
Right.
Purpose. Yeah.
Are there any concerns about egress? I see there is, you know, obviously there's a door at the top of the stairs to get into the unit. That seems to be the only way out of the unit in the event of a fire, unless they jump out the window.
The... You take it first, and then I'll... The space is not required to have more egress than that. It's a small space. It's 574 square feet. There are two means of egress, both the stairs and the window. So the applicant, you know, of course, is going to have to meet all applicable building code requirements with the space.
That's where I was going to go with that. The building department's still going to get to see this for further. And if there's an exterior improvement needed, such as a ladder or anything of that nature,
right.
I would imagine that's a trigger to come back for an actual minor site plan to deal with that, if it's steps or an add-on to the building, based on the testimony that's been provided.
Right. And that's my only concern, especially considering that this building was the victim of a fire before. I remember that fire. It got very bad very quickly. And you know, the last thing, obviously, anybody would want is for someone to be trapped up there and have to choose to jump out the window with no ladder or no fire escape. That's obviously going to be beyond this board's control, but I did want to get clarification on that.
Yes, the applicant obviously is going to have to meet all applicable building code requirements. It's certainly a legitimate concern. You're doing a great job as a board member to have that concern. The applicant actually provides the egress window facing the parking lot to provide adequate egress distance from that window.
Gotcha.
That's why I mentioned previously the applicant will be adding that window to the second floor of the structure.
Yeah, okay. Last question. Obviously, I don't really have a problem with the parking variance request, provided that the tenant of the commercial space is always the tenant of the upstairs space, because if they aren't, then that defeats the purpose of, you're not going to end up limiting parking spaces. You're going to have potentially, you know, two extra spaces if you separate the tenants from each other.
Mr. McCourt, we have it in the application. I've provided testimony on it numerous times, and if the board would act favorably on this application, it's going to be a condition of the resolution. The applicant definitely will commit to the residential dwelling and the commercial space to be occupied by the same individual.
Okay. Okay. That's all I have.
Any other board member have questions?
No.
No, we'll entertain a motion.
Well, we ought to see. I assume there are all these people, but we better find out for sure. did he drug them all out?
Anyone from the town or an audience care to comment?
Say go for it.
That's for the applicant.
It's all right. You know, it's tough keeping them in check sometimes.
All right.
Oh, can you mark the exhibit?
I'm sorry, that was not submitted as part of the application packet.
Okay.
So,
why don't we just take a minute and
I'll distribute it to the board.
It's going to be marked as A1, and A1 is the planning exhibit.
Thank you.
For the applicant, Tyler Dover, prepared by Nicholas Graviano. Called Aerial Google, April 2, 2025, and it's got a date on the bottom of April 2, 2025.
Yeah, and I'm sorry I didn't distribute this earlier, but the engineer's letter requested some visuals of the parking area so the board can understand it a little bit better. As I stated, the site plan is not being modified. Both of those two parking areas hold two off-street parking spaces.
Let me ask one question. Is the parking just universal? There are no assigned spaces, is that correct?
No.
Okay. So with no assigned spaces, it seems to me that's also an additional reason in the affirmative for the application, because you have a residential use in the front commercial in the back, and when the commercial is operating, in theory, there'll be additional parking on site because the residents of the structures of the structure in the front will not be on site.
Yeah, and in the current situation, the occupant of the single-family dwelling only has one car, so the applicant would like to leave the other three spaces available for
flexible.
Yeah, as flexible as possible.
Is that parking lot lined?
It presently is not.
Is it going to be?
If the board would prefer it to be lined, we can line it.
Yeah, I would prefer that.
Certainly could be done.
Can that also be added in the conditions of the application?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Can that also be added in the conditions of the application? Great.
Any other board member have comments, questions? If not, take a motion.
Does anybody have any concerns at all with this application? Since there are only five, and he needs to have five affirmative votes to get an approval?
No.
Nope.
Okay. So a shrug is just as good as anything else. So, somebody want to make a motion?
I'll move approval of the application with our noted conditions.
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
We need a roll call.
We need a roll call, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. We'll take a roll call.
That's why you have her.
I'm sorry?
Roll call.
Oh, roll call, yes. Chairman Fisher?
No, wait. We're going to start doing this right. The chairman always gets called last.
Oh, he's always last.
You wouldn't have known that, but that's the way it goes.
No problem. Thank you for letting me know. I'm going to use that in all my board.
That's it.
It's learning. Commissioner McCourt?
Yes.
Commissioner Nieves?
Yes.
Commissioner Fox?
Yes.
Vice Chair Schmoke?
Yes.
And Chairman Fisher?
Yes.
Congratulations, Council.
Thank you, board and board professionals. Certainly a pleasure being here, and it was a pleasure to work with you on this application.
Councilor, let me ask you one other question. You got your approval. You have your people all dressed up. Moving. Do you want to waive receipt of the resolution since there are no objectors out so that you can get building plans and stuff into the construction department instead of waiting 30 days from the memorialization of the resolution?
I'd like to at least see the resolution.
You'll see it.
Okay.
You'll see it no matter what. But if they have all their construction stuff, all set to go for whatever internal stuff that they have to do, they can proceed
without the
resolution. We'll memorialize it at the board's next meeting.
Okay.
You will see it.
Okay, great.
Ahead of time. So would you like to do that?
Sure.
He's trying to be a nice guy tonight by throwing you a freebie.
All right, now I take the freebie that off. No, thank you. Appreciate it.
All right,
thank you. Have a good night, everybody.
Yes. Okay.
Good night. Good
night. Yeah. Yeah, we got that.
That went pretty sweet, huh? Well, we still have to adjourn.
Wait. Anybody's ending the meeting? Don't we have to make a motion to end the meeting?
Well, we have open to the public, but there's no public. Is there any old business?
No.
Nope.
Think so. No.
Any new business?
Nope.
Now
we can have a motion.
I make a motion that we be adjourned for the evening.
Have a second.
Or for the month.
All in favor.
Aye.
All in favor.
You're catching on.
Thank you.
I'm hanging on. Yeah.
You too.
I've been doing this for a while. My notes are right here, but I haven't been recording.
So,